Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Title of my message this morning is Fulfilling God's Will. Have we done that? Do we seek to do that? Do we know what that is? Fulfilling God's will. Oh, that a person would see the holiness and justice and mercy in the Almighty God. That we would see our sin against Him. That we come into this world at complete opposition to the Holy God we offended. Not somebody else's opposition, our own opposition. Somebody else has not sinned against Thee, but I sinned against Thee. Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned. And that we would see Christ as the one mediator, the only go-between between God and man. And that we would hear this either for the first time, you who have yet to believe on Christ, you have yet to see, that we would hear this for the first time. Lord, open our ears. Give us eyes to see Him, hearts to believe Him. Or one more time for you that already know Him. We could see Him once again. I pray we can see this morning some clearly revealed truths. And that we can earnestly ask ourselves a couple of hard, penetrating questions. Might humble us. Might sting us a little bit. But then that we could see the good news. Here in Ephesians 5, we'll be in verse 14. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore He saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Because Christ has spoken unto the hearts of His people, awakened us. He's quickened us from the dead, and He's given us life. Because of this, verse 15, See then that ye walk circumspectly, that means diligently, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, because of all this, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I pray that I would not be a fool. What does the psalmist say? A fool says, No, God. No. It's foolish, isn't it? I pray that we would be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And that we would understand what the will of the Lord is. I was thinking of the resurrection of Christ while studying this text this week. And some people say, some may say that it was the will of God to raise Christ from that sepulcher. That was the Lord's will for Him to do that. And some may even say it was the will of God to bruise Christ, to put Him in that grave. But very few people will ever enter into the fact, the peace that comes with the understanding that if anything has happened, ever, if anything is happening right now, or if anything shall happen, it was the will of the Lord for it to come to pass. That's called an almighty, sovereign God. That's God. That's who He is. If it has come to pass, if it's coming to pass now, or it will come to pass, it is His will for it to happen. If we could ever enter into that fact, Lord, give us grace to believe that. That everything takes place. Everything is according to His will. The will of the Lord. What a different mindset we would have walking through this world, wouldn't it? What a different mindset we would have interacting with others. That's what Peter told us. That's stirring up your pure mind. Not that old wicked mind we was born with. That's our pure mind being stirred up. If it come to pass, if I breathe my next breath, the Lord did it. It was His will to do so. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be turning quite a bit this morning. But as we read in our text, the Lord says, Awake thou that sleepest. So this will keep us awake, hopefully. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1:11 says, In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. A-double-L. All things. After the counsel of His own will. Everything that the Lord does, everything that comes to pass, is according to the purpose of the Lord's will. It's according to His will. Most of the things that happen in our lives, we wish turned out the other way, don't we? Isn't that how we wake up every day? Well, I wish it was raining. I wish it wasn't raining. That's right, isn't it? You ever go to the grocery store? Boy, I got in the wrong line. Oh, I should have gotten that one. It's going so much faster. Ever get a cold or an illness? Ever have someone say a mean word to you? Everything that happens is according to the purpose and the will of God Almighty. Only His will be done. Turn over to Daniel chapter 4. We've looked at this several times, but it's so warming to me. Daniel chapter 4, just after Ezekiel. Nebuchadnezzar, in the eyes of this world, well, he had a lot, didn't he? He's a wealthy, mighty king. Oh, he's so much power, so strong. Something to be envied by most people, wouldn't it? Big Nebuchadnezzar. And it was the Lord's will to humble that man and to bring him to see the true king. Completely humbled. Completely bowing to God Almighty. What a blessing. What an eternal blessing it would be if we were to crawl on all fours. If we were to lose our minds, I mean, be brought down to the dust that we are, to look up to Him. Look here in Daniel 4, verse 34. Daniel 4, 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto the heaven. That's what David wrote in Psalm 121. I lift up mine eyes unto the heavens. How are we going to? We have to be down before we can look up, don't we? Lift up mine eyes unto the heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. That's everlasting. How long was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom? One generation. His kingdom was until he died, wasn't he? Boy, he came to see that. Lord's kingdom is from generation to generation. It's everlasting. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand nor say unto Him, what doest thou? This once mighty king, this strong, powerful man, he openly to the world and earnestly proclaimed, only the Lord's will be done. Not my will, but His will. This is the sovereign, almighty God of all the universe. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. That's how we were taught to pray, weren't we? Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not mine, yours. Thy will be done. That's a fact. The Lord's will is going to be done. That's a fact. It's not up for discussion. It's not a debatable topic between wise people. The Lord's will be done. Now, what is His will for His people? And have you and I done it? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7. This is where it comes to us. Matthew chapter 7. The Lord told us at the end of Matthew that go into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you tell them everything I've told you. You tell them my commandments. And I am with you always. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Have I done the will of the Father? Maybe I've done a lot of good things. what men in this world call good things. Maybe I've done what men could call miracles. Maybe I laid my hands on somebody that had a hurt shoulder, and now all of a sudden they can move. Maybe I've done something that was just miraculous. Is that doing the will of the Lord? Doing all these things? Look at verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? I was a preacher. I was a pastor of a church, Lord. And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Boy, haven't we done so much? Just like that Pharisee in the temple. I fasted. I gave tithes. Haven't I done these things? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Many fools, many unwise people, those unwise of who God is and those unwise of who we are in our nature, they build their eternal hope on sand. On sand. They pour a foundation for their home on quicksand, on their works, their iniquity, on what they think is right. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. I pray we can see that today, that wisdom is building our house upon the rock. It's like that angel of the Lord rolling a stone away. He sat upon the rock. That's a wise man. What is Christ talking about here? What did he tell us to do? Look up in verse 1. Matthew 7, verse 1. Here's some penetrating questions we're going to look at for us. Matthew 7, 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I ask myself, have I done the will of God? Have I refrained from judging? When the Lord tells us not to do something, it means don't ever do it. It's not an action, not in the thoughts of the mind, and not in the spirit. He says don't do it. Don't do it. Adam didn't get a verbal warning and then a written warning, and then he died spiritually in the garden, did he? Wasn't progression. Lord said, obey my command. Don't eat of the fruit. Not even once. Not even once. It's easy for us to say, oh, well, vengeance is the Lord's, isn't it? The retribution, the punishment for an act is the Lord's to dispose of. That's His business. But the judging of such acts, that's His as well. All judgment is given to the Son. All of it. We saw it Wednesday night. When we pass judgment on one another, we are sitting in that rightfully earned judgment seat of Christ. In the body, we may not do it out loud. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that. Knock that off. We may not do it out loud, but do we do it in the mind and in the heart? With our mouth closed, never tell another soul and just say, oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, I wish they'd start doing this. Have we ever sat in judgment? Have I done it today? Have I done it this morning? Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Us grown-ups, we know what that word is. It's when two people come together, two adults outside of marriage. But in the body, physically, walking on this earth, many is going to abstain from fornication. And they foolishly, without wisdom, they're proud of it. Look what I've done. Well, I never did that. But what about the mind? The Lord said if we think it in our minds, if we do it in our heart, we did it in the body, didn't we? In our minds, have we ever done that? In our entire lives, ever. What about in the spirit? We've been looking at these words there in Romans, haven't we? Have we ever, from conception, have we ever been neglectful of that covenant of grace that the Father made with Christ before time? Have we ever disregarded it? Have we ever made light of it? I grew up under the sound of the gospel, and I was ready to fight it tooth and toenail because I had head knowledge. And then I made a work out of not working. Who could come up with something like that? A sinful heart will. A child of Adam will. Have I still done this after the Lord did a work in me, after He quickened me, after He's awakened me? Have I not kept a day on purpose? Not just for the benefit of my brother. We looked at the meats and the days, weren't we? Not just for benefit of my brothers and sisters in Christ, but have I done it thinking, well, this is good, I should do this. Or I should abstain from that. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just a page there. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do we only give thanks for the good things, or for everything? And all those events in life that just are full of sadness. Oh, it gets so sad. Full of pain. Hurtful times. Times that make me angry. You just clench your fist and grit your teeth together. Do I bow immediately as that happens and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this illness. Thank you for this pain. Thank you for this sorrow that you've sent. That's the will of God. Have I done that? Turn over to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Can you and I say we've rose above loving this world, the things in it? Have I rose above loving my pride? Honestly, in our closets, in our hearts, have we completely done the will of God and not lusted after something in this world? Not that it's possible for me to do it. Haven't I done it? And I ask you, is there any aspect, any of the Lord's will that any of us have completely observed and fulfilled? The answer, before you say it out loud, the answer is no. Not even one thing. We haven't. And Adam's fallen from the will of the Lord, and every child born of Adam's loins, we have fallen from the will of God. We've lived contrary to His will our whole lives. Now, wait a second. Hold on, preacher. You said that everything happens according to the Lord's will. And it does. Now, did Adam falling in the garden, did that make the Lord reactive? Did He react to Adam? Was He surprised? Does our sin of not performing His will, does that spoil and does it confound the Lord's will? Was the fall of mankind outside of the will of God? Here's where the good news comes in. We've got to be brought down like Nebuchadnezzar, don't we? We've got to be humbled, brought down to the dirt that we are, that we're made from, and look up to the Lord. Here's the gospel. Turn over to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha, and he loved her sister, and he loved Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Because our Lord loved those three siblings, because he loved them, he waited 2 more days. He waited for Lazarus to die. That's what he's waiting. Look at verse 14, John 11:14. And said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But I thought Christ said this sickness wasn't unto death. It wasn't. Look here in verse 41. John 11:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, let him go. In the good will and pleasure of the Lord, the Almighty God, he allowed Lazarus to die. He died according to his will. Why did that happen? Why did Lazarus fall? Why did he die? Look up in verse 4 again. The end of verse 4. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Do we see this picture of Lazarus in the garden? We understand that. God was not the creator or the performer of man's sins, but in his permissive will, he allowed that to happen. Just as Christ allowed, he waited 2 days, allowed Lazarus to die. Let him go in the grave. He stunk. And he did it for the Father and the Son to be glorified and for the benefit of his people. Why did Lazarus die physically the first time? Why did he die? Sin. Anybody got wrinkles? You know what that is? Anybody ever sneezed? You ever been sick ever? Are you going to die in this world? Do you know why? Sin. Why did Adam die? Sin. Sin. How do we know that for sure? That mankind's fall was completely according to the Lord's permissive will. Before God allowed the first man to fall, that mortally innocent man he created in the garden, before he took his hand off of him and allowed him to fall, before he made that first man from red dirt, before he made this earth that we're standing on now, he provided a Savior before it ever happened. Before there was ever a sinner in need of a sacrifice for the remission of their sins, there was a sacrifice made. Before God ever told Adam, this is my will, this is my commandment, do not sin against it, he provided Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We see that picture here. And because of the love of Christ for Lazarus and his sisters, he waited 2 more days for their benefit, those around's benefit, and for the benefit of his sheep that would hear him raise Lazarus from the dead and see it, and for the glory of the Father and for Christ's glory. This man dying just as the sands of the sea. We all fell in Adam, and the Lord has a people to make just like Christ. Turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. This whole world, His will is for His glory and our benefit. Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How thank ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that one which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, who found that sheep? He found it. Verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. He won't lose a one. Not one of his children will perish. He will find them, and there'll be great rejoicing. That's what he said in Luke 15. There is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One that he latches on to and turns to him, puts him on his shoulder and carries him back. Knowing that the will of God shall come to pass, we know that whatever is not the will of God shall not come to pass. It can't come to pass. What is not his will? That one of his little ones should perish. That's good news. That's good news. He sought us when we wouldn't seek him. He found us when we had no interest in him, when we were at enemies with him. And he brought us to himself. And he'll sustain us for eternity. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He will bring every one of them to him. How then can a sinner that cannot do the will of the Lord, that cannot do anything by our nature to please God, how can we be worthy to enter into the Lord's presence? Turn over to John 6. John chapter 6. Verse 37. John 6, 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Our Redeemer is saying here, my people could not do the will of God. And him as that propitiation, that acceptable blood sacrifice, the worthy blood atonement, Christ will perform all of the will of the Father on behalf of his people given to him before time. All of it. Even the things we don't even know. He said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. This entire book before us, that book in your laps, its entire volume, it's written of Christ. He did God's will. He performed it. He completed it. He accomplished it. Never read the Scriptures. Never go to the Bible and look for something to do. You're going to stay busy. Look for what's been done. Look for what's been accomplished. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Our Master said, they cannot do your will, so I'll do it for them. They cannot please you, Father, so I will please you for them. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That law given to us is just our schoolmaster. That's a hired servant by the Father to take the children to school. make sure they get there. That law was weak in the flesh. It can't make us holy. It can't sanctify us. It can't redeem us. But it can show us that we're unredeemable in ourselves. So we're unholy in this nature that we walk in, and point us only to Christ that is. And that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law and all the commandments and all the precepts and the attitude that was possessed when they were completed, when it was accomplished, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why did Christ come in the flesh and was made a sacrifice for our sin? So that He would glorify the Father that sent Him. And the Father would glorify the Son who accomplished it. And that His people would be saved. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. That's what He came to do. Turn to Galatians 1, I'll let you go. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Everything, I wish I could enter into that. Everything required of a sinner to be in the presence of a holy God, everything is fulfilled in Christ. He fulfilled it for His people. Every bit of it. If we could truly be humbled and see Him, what He's done for us, the sacrifice, Him shedding His own blood for the remission of our sins, making us holy, making us, giving us His righteousness, Him taking my sin, bearing me on that cross. Knowing I can't perform the will of God, and He performed it for me. What a debt of love. That's what we looked at first on. I ought to serve Him, shouldn't I? Well, that's the desire of any child of God. We pray as we're taught, Lord, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, let me see Christ today. Let me see the One that saved me. Let me see the One that performed Your will perfectly for eternity on my behalf, my substitute. Let me see Him today. How do you and I know that this sacrifice of Christ really did make atonement? How did it make at-one-ment? How did it reconcile us to the God that we offended? How do we know that God the Father is satisfied with that? He is risen. We have an empty tomb. We don't have a sepulcher full of dead men's bones. There's an empty tomb. There's a great number of witnesses to this, weren't they? A good bit of money was paid to those guards at the tomb to lie about it. And this world observes a day each year to proclaim that Christ was victorious over that tomb. What they don't understand, He was victorious over sin, death, and hell for His people. It was accomplished. The will of the Father was performed. He was satisfied. I pray someday, someone today, maybe, would truly know that the will of the Lord was completed in His Son. The Father was glorified in it. The Son was glorified by being seated on His throne above. The Lordship of Christ is magnified in it. And with that happening, His people are saved. We're given His robe of righteousness. What grace. What good news. Unless you're clinging to your own robes of righteousness, that's good news. Say, I did something. I'm going to hold on to this. Look what I did. Oh, I pray you make us lay down our arms lay down those grave clothes and cling to his feet, just as those disciples did. He said, whosoever, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever your lineage is, whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. Lay down all your care on him. Bow to him. Look up to him. Because he's finished the work. It's been completed. Amen. Let's pray.